third world countries get a little light. But John says here in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the precious, incorruptible, infallible, inspired Word of God that You said we'd do well to give the most earnest heed to. And Lord, to it tonight we look for the need of this hour. And we pray You'll take Your words tonight, Lord, and plant them in our heart. Give unto us, we may have to give unto these. And we'll praise You and give You glory for whatever You do, for it's Thine and Thine alone. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We're going to preach tonight on how great are You. And I want you to really think about what I'll be saying tonight. I sought God about this message. I actually wanted to preach about pride. And you know, God told Jonah, He said, you go to Nineveh and you preach the preaching that I bid you to preach. And that's important. Preaching, God chose the fullness of preaching to save them that believe. But God told Jonah specifically what He wanted to preach Nineveh. And I don't remember how many it was, but I do remember God said they didn't know their left hand from their right hand. And it was about, about 160,000 or something like that. Let me turn over real quick and I'll tell you accurately how many repented at the preaching of Jonah. And here we go. 120,000 souls that didn't know their left hand from their right hand, they repented to God at the preaching that God told Jonah to preach. And preaching's important. God, like I said, He chose the fullness of preaching. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the glad tidings. I don't know about that last part. I looked at my feet and they look far cry being beautiful. But I'll let the Lord have the say in that matter there. But we want to preach tonight on how great are You. But before we preach tonight, I want to share a couple of things with you. One, I've shared already with some of the men here tonight. And that was the Saturday before Christmas. I always have devotions on Saturday. I don't know how it got started. But somehow or another it got started. And I have devotions every Saturday morning. Most of the time, I don't set my alarm. I just wake up 4 o'clock. And I ever seen wake up every Saturday morning at 4 o'clock and have devotion with the Lord, and I pray, and then I get my Bible out, read my Bible, make me a pot of coffee. Every good Baptist, you know, there is coffee. You're going to be in heaven. You know that, don't you? You got a book here that says Hebrews. I don't know what his name is, but he's the one who makes the coffee up in heaven. But anyway, I'm sitting there drinking my coffee and, you know, fellowshipping with the Lord and having devotion. I all the way to 7 o'clock. And then I listen to old Jack Robinson, I believe it's his name, Jack from Tennessee there. He preaches on King of Kings at 7 o'clock. He preaches from 7 to 7:30, about like the Baptist church. It cuts off right there at 7:30, and I take off through the day to go do whatever I need to do. But the Saturday before Christmas, I woke up at 3 o'clock, and I was glad. I actually wanted to wake up a little early. I woke up at 3 o'clock and I'd been in the family room in there and I'd been praying a pretty good while, and I heard my son walk in, which he's done it quite a bit, walking on me praying. And I ain't got no problem with that. As a matter of fact, I had my daughter walking on me while I was praying. And bless her heart, she's tender-hearted. And she come down beside me and wept while I prayed. That really kind of helped me pray a little more, you know what I mean? And, I'm probably walking on while I'm praying. My granddaughter, she'll walk in on me while I'm praying. And most times, she'll walk out real politely. My wife comes in, turns the light on, turns the TV on, turns it up. And, she's real spiritual, you know what I mean? Well, anyway, make a long story short, you husband dwell up according to knowledge. And whoso find a wife, find a good thing and all of that. But I think she's my thorn in the flesh. But anyway, my son come in there, and I thought he walked out, but actually he stayed in, and I didn't know it, and he knelt down on the backside of the couch. And I'm kind of glad he knelt down, because I'm praying God lead a good godly woman in his life. And the Lord, he makes the crooked straight, and I thought maybe he can straighten him out like he straightened me out. Get in the church, and I'm still looking for a day. I see that young man stand up, and now she's called a preacher. Man, pop some buttons off, amen, the word of God. Amen, praise God. I'm looking forward to that. Don't quench my cold there. I've got a vision about that. I like to see, I know that God used that young man when he's 8 years old to get this old drunk church, get him saved. So I know God can use him. I kind of like to see him using that capacity, but God, I believe it's Psalm 127. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it, labor in vain. God's going to make a man. Every right man can decide one day he's going to be a preacher. God's got to call a man. God's got to mold and make a man. Most of the time he's got to break before he can use him. But anyway, my son down there, I'm praying. And at the time, I was praying about a Christmas event coming up. And I said, Lord, could you please help us to get along? I got done praying. He raised up the backside of that couch and he said, I can't believe you asked God for a loan. I said, not a loan, son, to get a loan. But anyway, the Bible said be careful of nothing, everything, prayer and thanksgiving. I was trying to do that. And I'll tell you one more thing happened before we preach here real quick. My granddaughter, she knows her pop prays because she hears me turn thanks over the food before we eat. And I thank God for that. She's my granddaughter, the youngest one. She's 12. And lots of times she asked me to pray for her friend, Daniel. And this will happen this time. It was the week before Christmas. She said, Papa, I got a friend. And she's cutting herself. She's cutting her wrist. And they're going to put a ribbon nail. She said, would you please pray for her? And I said, I'll tell you one better than that, mate. I said, let's be you both come back here. Pray for her. And she didn't get on board there. And I didn't have a problem with that neither. I didn't understand, her being young and, this was maybe a little bit more than she was willing to go. But, she finally got on board. She said, let's go pray, Pop. And I said, all right, honey. And I was glad. But one thing I wanted, she heard Pop pray and give him thanks for Daniel. And I wanted to hear Pop intercede on behalf of someone. I wanted to hear a man of God pray to God and touch the heart of God about a matter. We went back here in the back bedroom and we shut the door and we lived down there. And I said, Dear Lord, me and Maddie have come to you on behalf of one of her friends. I won't name the little girl's name, but she doesn't live 3 miles from this church. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you where she lives, but just don't tell nobody I sent you out there. Her mom and dad's having problems. They're pretty close to getting divorced. It's taking effect on this young girl. But as we was praying, I said, Dear Lord, me and my granddaughter here, we're wanting to pray on behalf of this young girl, and you already know more about her and her needs than either one of us. We want you to know that we care about her. We want you to help her. And by prayer, we're putting her needs in your hands. Guess what she told me this week? She said, guess what, Pop? She ain't got to go to Britain back. You got it all worked out. Amen. She's doing better. Amen. That really encouraged me in the Lord. Amen. First of all, that my granddaughter got to hear Grandpa pray. Second of all, that God honored the petition that we brought before him, and that God be the glory that he moved upon me. I didn't want this young girl to have to go to Riverdale. Riverdale's not what the young girl needs. But you know, nobody really can understand their needs except God. He knew what old Eddie Wade needed. He orchestrated me getting saved. Lord. But our message tonight, and we want to certainly get right into it. I don't like chasing rabbits, but I want to share that with you. That may encourage you a little bit. Anytime you get a chance to pray with your children, that's a good investment. That's a good example. That's passing the torch. One of our problems is the generation that walks so close to God's gone. I remember my grandfather, I remember him coming to me when I was 18. Here I am in the backyard, my shirt off in the field. And I've got a patch blue ribbon and a long mint bottle in my hand. I see him coming. I put it behind my back. He walks up to me and he can't see real good, Daniel. And his glasses are almost round. They're not like that thick. But those glasses were enough that I could see the bowling ball tears running down his cheeks as he came up to me. And he said, "Horsefly, I'm praying for you to get saved. I wish you'd get saved." He called me Horsefly because he said, "I'm worried about death." He said, "I'm worried about you. I love you." And I said, "Papa, you ain't got to worry about me." He said, "Oh, yeah, you're lost. You're going to end up in hell if you don't get saved." And you know, I just kind of looked at right off my back like one off a duck's back. But he pleaded with me there in my backyard. And I'm sitting there, I didn't say this, but in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, "Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, I'll give God my life, but not at 18. I mean, I want to do my thing. You know, we're rebels in our heart. Every one of us, if you say amen right here, are quite a bit rebellious. I mean, Moses addressed the people of God, and he said, 'You rebels, must we fetch you water in this rock?' And he was told to speak to that rock, and that rock was Christ, and he smote that rock, and Aaron died that day. And Moses died just a little bit later. He never got to go over the promised land. We're rebels in our heart. I don't know who we're fooling, but we'll do anything except what we're supposed to, what we need to do. We're just rebels in our heart, but God loves us. He understands our problem. Thank God he does. I mean, he was made in our likeness, but he ain't like us, amen. He had favor with God and man. He obeyed his father. His father said, 'It's my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him.'" We're big rebels, Brother Danny. We turn everything on but him. But anyway, our message tonight, how great are you? The generation before us is gone. This generation's crumbling a little bit at the foundation. There's still a remnant. That's why God's still using America. God, just so you'll know, we didn't take it away means. I hear crickets and the forest lights. God raised America up to evangelize the world, to fulfill the commission that the gospel be preached to the four corners of the world. Every single missionary come from America. Every true revival proceeded from America. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Matter of fact, it's his to give. He don't have to take a poll. He don't have to ask permission. We get a little, ask him about them polls. We get a little bewildered in those polls. I mean, 10,000 people's coming to hear a man speak, and 100 people come to hear her. And she says, "Why? I'm 50 points ahead." Do the math. Anyway, let me get off of politics. But the generation that you and I are living in, it's crumbling.
Yeah.
It's a serious message tonight. I pray to God you listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I've observed what I'm going to be preaching tonight. Bible says, "Go nigh to God, he'll go nigh to you." The very verse that we just read right here. How much darkness is there in God? It said, "This is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." No 50 shades of gray with God. I know the Baptist church, we've compromised. We throw this song out, don't want to offend no one. Oh, by the way, I hope you're on a problem with the King James Bible, because if it ain't a King James Bible, it ain't mine. I wrote a whole lot of songs. I did write one song. It ain't going to be a number one hit. But I did write one song when I first got saved. When I read my Bible, I don't like to waste my time. And if it's not a King James, it's not a Bible of mine. I don't read other versions because of their perversions. To me, the King James Bible is just fine. It's got about two or three more verses in it. You get the message there. I mean, I don't want to put a serpent in my hand. I don't want to put a serpent in my else's hand.
Right.
You know, the King James Bible has zero additions, zero omissions. It's like Jesus, you can put it in Pilate's hand and you say, I find no fault at all.
Right.
That's the way it is. Who said that back there? It's good to hear Holy Ghost. Amen. Woo! Man, we might start out this year, praise God, both feet on the path. Amen. But look here, God doesn't have no 50 shades of gray. Bible says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Somebody said, boy, I just wish I had a closer walk with God. Somebody wrote a song about it. Just a closer walk with Him. Granted, Jesus. I don't remember the words to it, but I do remember a little bit about that. Just a closer walk with God. Well, there is one. As a matter of fact, God told Moses, over at my meal, there's a little place there cleft in a rock. You get in there, I'll walk by and I'll put my hand over it, you can see my backside. We don't have to see the backside of God. And we can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Thanks to Jesus giving His life a ransom for all. Be testified in due time. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. We can boldly come to the throne of grace. We can say, Abba, Father, which is pretty much Pop. I need to talk. I've had a lot of them talks with them. I come in broken and said, I need to talk. Got to put them back together. Status my goings, got me going again, put a song in my heart, even praise His name. But we become a little bit gray. And I'll prove it. Do you know that a light dispels darkness? But darkness doesn't dispel light. I mean, even... I've been slaying a lot of mud here lately on social media. I know I shouldn't, but trying to get some light out there. I've kind of treaded down into the swamp of sin. And you know, I put on there, you know, about these certain bunch of people that's having a problem in North Carolina and Texas about witchcraft and use everything. And I put on there some people that they're matched only stripes on their box, and one guy, what does that mean? I reply back, it just means they're cheap matches. They won't strike on no box but theirs. And you know, they don't really get it. The reason they don't get it, they're in darkness. They've never been enlightened. They can't see the things that we see. Me and the preacher here talking about how the Word of God, it's just too deep to just pick it up and say, I've conquered the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, just study to show ourselves approved unto God. To be a workman, need not be ashamed, right and divine the word of truth. You have to stay with it. You have to study. You have to ask God for wisdom. And you know what? The more you study, you know, Moses, he spent some time with God. He come down off the mount, Moriah, I believe it was, and his face glowed, and the people was looking at him kind of like he's from Mars or something. He had to put a veil over his face. Well, that's what happened when you spend a lot of time with God. Light dispels the darkness. Darkness does not dispel light. Darkness only takes the place of the void of light. Now, Paul talked about the last days, and he talked about the spiritual amnesia that would be taking place in the last days. And he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's what I'm talking about here tonight. You know, you put a ship in the water, and it does just fine. But if the water gets in the ship, what happens?
It sinks.
Yeah. That's why we need to not be so quick to compromise when it comes to light and darkness. Now, just to get a little bit more serious about what I'm saying, turn with me because I want you to read it. You'll get it through the ear gate, through the eye gate. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here, but I want you to... We're going to read 14 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read the first 14 verses. We'll be admonished here. It says, be ye... Ye, that's the plural of you. I can't say be all of you. I say be ye, and that's a lot of you. That's a plural of you. Be ye, therefore, fathers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. This is what I just said right there. Let no man deceive you. Genesis chapter 3. Everybody's fine. Adam got heaven on earth. A serpent shows up. He beguiles Eve. And all of a sudden she looks at one command. One. Man couldn't even keep one. We only want to see the ten. There are not ten suggestions or ten commandments. Paul said, I have not known sin by the law. But the law said, thou shalt not covet. So we had a problem with covetousness. But they had one command. That seemed like a little pet sin. Just one. Didn't seem that serious. God said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that was enough till the serpent showed up. And the very first commercial ran right there in the Garden of Eden. And the serpent took the commandment of God, and with feigned words, he construed it around to where Eve looked at that tree differently. Now she's looking at that tree, boy, that one commandment, she's looking at that tree as something to be desired to make one wise. That's why I let no man deceive you. She mentioned that serpent, he beguiled me, he deceived me, and I didn't eat. God turned that serpent, he said, you're cursed. Above the cattle, known thy belly, shall eat dust all the days of thy life. And they got that blame game, you know how we do that. Woman, she gave me, and I did eat. God asked the woman, what's going on here? She said, that serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. God says here, let no man deceive you. God told Lot, go get his family. I'm fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes to the two son-in-laws. Get that, two son-in-laws. That means they've married his two daughters. You getting this? Now Lot had two other daughters that had not known the man. So we're talking a total of four daughters here that's mentioned in the Word of God. Two have not known the man. Two are married. God said, go get what you got, get that, or we're fixing to destroy this place. He goes to reason with those two son-in-laws, and he's about like most Baptist churches today. He's a little gray. He's lost quite a bit of his life. And you know, you can't light a whole lot of darkness when your batteries are dead, and you know it just won't put out, and you're trying to make it put out like that new flashlight you have on TV that you turn it on, the wall falls down, and his light ain't doing so good. And he says, up you out of this place, the Lord's going to destroy it. And the Bible said, he seemed as one that mocked to them. And they didn't get up and get out of there. They were consumed in that inferno that rained down fire and brimstone from heaven. I always had a problem with my wife looking back. And I understand now why she did. She's a mother. She's got two daughters back there. And I understand I can be somewhat sympathetic. But God is no respecter of persons. And God gave them a commandment. Don't look back. Matter of fact, God told us in the New Testament that if we look back, it wasn't fit for the ministry. He said, no man plowing looking back is fit for the ministry. We got to keep looking ahead. Keep plowing straight road, making our furrow straight, planting a good seed, amen. But Lot, as he's fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, he asked permission to go to Zoar. He said, it's but a little. See, we, some reason or another, want to somehow have just a little grain. How much leaven does it take to leaven a lump? A little leaven leaven a lump. Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't get it. They thought he was talking about bread. They said, God, we didn't bring no bread. He said, no, I'm talking about the doctrine. See, you got to be careful when it comes to doctrine. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they'll preach what you want to hear, not what you need. And be turned from the truth to fables. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. There's no substitute for truth. How to Jesus in the faith and said, look him in the face and said, what is truth? If you can't see truth that close, you need glasses back. But he says here, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We have a different walk. We used to walk according to the course of this world, but now the Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. We're on a different path. We don't walk in darkness no more. He says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, I want you really to pay attention to these next three verses. And I'll tell you why. Now, the church has got, you know, two words. I remember when they came out in the workplace, Daniel, I was in Bibleism. The first thing came out is a new word called diversity. We have to somehow learn how to accept diversity. I filled out a job application. At that time, it was Edens before it became Daniel. I filled out a job application for Edens. And on that job application, I never will forget this. I'd get in there and get a copy of it, but she wouldn't give me one. I wanted one. But it said, which sex best describes you? And I thought, I'm putting in for a job. And as big as I could, for all that pen was right, I wrote M-A-L-E. And it said, are you married or do you have a significant other? And again, I wrote as big as I could write in that blank.
I'm just telling you about this leaven. It's coming in the church. You notice most of the song books that took the song out about the blood. I appreciate the song tonight, brother. Yeah. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Right.
See it? Jesus said, "This is my blood, which I shed for you for remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." See, we got some people, they haven't really arrived. They're not really in the light. They're kind of in the way of the light. They just don't understand what's going on, so they call it, Brother Daniel, they call it a slaughterhouse religion to mention about the blood. Now, doesn't Isaiah 53 say he's led like a lamb to the what? Slaughter. It is a slaughterhouse religion. He was slaughtered like a lamb. John saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world." I may be a wild man. I'm just a messenger boy, but this message is burning in my heart. See, we need to build up the bulwarks. We need to blow the trumpet. Because when that leaven comes in, next thing you know, you're ordaining gays and lesbians. And there ain't no fellowship between light and darkness. I mean, that's all we are light. John talked about Jesus. He said, "I ain't that light. I'm sitting to bear witness of the light. He's a light. Well, we're just like John. We're bearing witness of light." Amen. People may not understand this. I'm not Jesus. I'm just in his stand preaching here tonight. Because he gave some apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. I'm just a preacher. Not much of one, but I want to have a little salt, amen. But you see that generation before us, my grandfather would load his shotgun, and he had done something. They don't bring it in. They don't really last to the end. We ain't cold, we ain't hot, we're just a lukewarm. Most of us asleep, drooling through another corner of our mouth. They know that. That's how they're able to get away with what they get away with. Well, we don't just like John the Baptist that the king had and say, "It ain't over for you to have your brother Phillip's wife." Might have lost his head over it. And I'm going to lose my head before it's all said and done. I'm going to have to pick it up with one of my ears. There ain't no hair of her. Amen. Won't be no trophy. He said here, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Boy, if it wasn't for this Bible, we'd be blind leading blind. If it wasn't for this Bible, if it wasn't for the one who said, "Let there be light," if it wasn't for the light of this Word of God, we couldn't prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. We'd have the last verse of the book of Judges says, "And every man done that which was right in his own eyes." That don't make it right. But that's what we're headed for. You've entertained some of these conversations, I'm sure. I don't really see the problem with the preacher. I don't really understand what's so bad. Well, if it wasn't so bad, God wouldn't have put it in the book.
That's right.
I'll quote you a verse here, and you can do whatever you want to with Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. Marriage is all but not. Which marriage? You'll get that on a slow train. Marriage is honorable and all, and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God set the boundaries of the marriage.
Right.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, "In the beginning, he made a male and female." He said, "Have you not read?" See, that's a problem. Most people haven't read. And, Jesus told Martha, he said, "Martha, you're careful. You're troubled about me. Maybe I didn't know the headset phones back then. How did God get a word to anybody nowadays? I mean, all of them." I'm out down that road. Brother Daniel, I'm on County Parkway, running 70 miles an hour. A woman goes by me. She's driving a car on the knees, and she's got two phones going like crazy. I saw it. I don't believe that. I still won't believe it. She had two phones going. Two of them. She's driving a car. Young girl, driving with her knees. She's got two of them up there. Get a flip phone on. Ain't smart enough to have a smartphone. I thank God for it.
But he says they're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, if you know your Bible very well, two men made an offering to God, and God had respect to one, and he accepted it. That was Abel. And the other one, God kind of snubbed. That was Cain. Cain got all upset about it, got righteous indignation, killed his brother Abel, the first murder. And the Bible will tell you also in 1 John that in chapter 3 that Cain was of that wicked one, slew his brother, and tells you why he slew him, because his brother's works were righteous. But let's get back to this, not chase rabbits. Verse 11. This is what's acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How many of y'all heard somebody say, don't judge me?
That's right.
You know, you hear that Matthew chapter 5, judge not lest you be judged. Now let me explain that verse to you so you'll get it the way God meant for that verse today. If you're a lost person and you judge someone, that same judgment is going to fall back on you. If you're saved and you're spiritual, he that's spiritual tells us all things and Paul rebuked the church of Corinth. He said, no, you not, we'll judge angels, much less the things that pertain to the world. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to let my homosexual babysit my children.
Right.
You've got to pass some judgment.
Right.
I'm not going to give a 12-year-old the keys to the car, so here, honey, go figure it out. You got to use some judgment.
Right.
I'm not going to take a bottle of strychnine up and just see if that scripture there in Mark's going to work for me. Rather than if they drink anything, you know, poisonous or deadly, it won't affect. I ain't doing that. They can do that all they want to. The Bible says, "Be content with the Lord, and some of them will restore the serpent." You won't see a word of that hand, no copper heads or rattlesnakes. You know why? Because I'm not giving glory to God.
Right.
I'm drawing attention to me.
Right.
Man, that's a selfish thing to do. God says here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what's wrong with their churches today? You know, I know I need to preach about grace. I know that. But I need to also preach about sin.
Amen.
I mean, Paul said, I have not known sin except by the law. You got to have a little bit of law in your message for the lost. You got to have some grace in there for the sheep and the lambs. And to God be the glory in the message, whatever it be. I heard one guy said, now it's a text, it's right to Calvary and stay there. Amen. I mean, that's where it all happened at. But he says, reprove them. Now, they don't like me. They call me they say I'm hateful. I'm a bigot. I'm a homophobe. And all that. They call me whatever you want to. I don't answer them. I answer him. I'd rather have them mad than have him mad at me. Yeah, man? Y'all getting this tonight? It'll cost you something standing for God. You see what I mean? I mean, just to tell you where we're at. Now, I'm not no prophet. And I don't want to give any kind of pretense that I am. You know what a woman just did over there in the Middle East with Israel and UN. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, Trump ain't got no choice. He's got to establish, he's got to break that yoke. He's got to establish peace. Now, for those of you that want a little bit of prophecy, I'll throw you a little bit out there. Matthew chapter 24, the Lord said, learn the parable of the fig tree, but when it's yet tender, put forth its branches, and when you see, you know it's not even at the door. Now, Israel became a nation in 1948. They got possession of land in 1950. Jesus said that generation won't pass, but all these things people feel, and he's mentioning the tribulation in Matthew chapter 24. So do the math. How many 1948 to 2016? Let me see if I can do the math. That's 65, 66, 67. Add 7 years to that. That's 73. Is that right? What is the days of our years? 3 score and 10 of our reason strength, 4 score. Then we're cut off and we fly away, Psalm chapter 9. Do the math! That's how close we are. If Trump, and he probably will, you write this down, he'll probably make peace over there. Matter of fact, his whole winning election, the modern day miracle.
Donald Trump don't hold against me if you don't agree with that. But who else can break the yoke? Who else can be the juggernaut that God could use? The dilemma of America, if we got corrupt politicians, you know, I'll just quote you a few verses here. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Righteous adult, the nation of sin, the reproach of people. Nation forget God, they turn to hell. I'm just having wisdom over our head. How do you overthrow that? Well, you get someone about like Donald Trump, you don't even know God's going to use him. But when he made his last president pick, I knew right then, I need to be watching this guy. I mean, he's rougher than a cop. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been praying for this country for a long time. I've been praying God to send the Bible again to America and bail it out and get it back where it used to be. How does that happen? One of these miracles that we just saw. Who would have thought? Well, get back. If he does make peace, and I'm going to say probably, if he makes peace over in the Middle East, he starts the calendar right there. You got 3.5 years before all hell breaks loose. The Bible tells you in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, when they say peace and safety, there come a sudden destruction upon them, like a woman in travail with child, they shall not escape. You see, they're going to receive double at the hand of the Lord because they rejected their Messiah. They got a time called Jacob's trouble, time called tribulation. Jesus speaking about in Matthew 24, pray to fly, being out of the womb. I didn't know they had airplanes back then, but anyway. He said, well, them being a child, those who get sucked in those days, they got to literally run for the life. They got a place already prepared called Bethlehem. And they're going to hit their hearts and go. God's going to help them. They're going to make it. Someone's going to live a lot of them die. These are times that you need to start reading around on the wall. You need to redeem the times. You need to discern these times. If he makes peace over there, you sit your watch life. You got 3.5 years if he makes peace over there. 3.5. I know we're saying, son, wait a little longer, Jesus, he ain't waiting. I'm going to tell you this, every jot, every tittle of this word is going to be fulfilled. Let me get back out. I'm sorry, get off chasing rabbits. But God says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You can just see by that verse right there, and you can just see what kind of dilemma we're in. I mean, is there anything wrong anymore? Is there even any preaching against sin anymore? And I know y'all have it either. I'll say that charity here. I love you, Pastor, a great man of God. I pray for him. He's on the list. Got a lot of preachers I pray for. He's one of them. And I thank God for your pastor. I know he feeds the flock. I know that he preaches the word of God as it is indeed the word. I know that. Thank God for it. I wish you had a meeting just like Brother Chris Bly. Great man of God. A lot of respect for him. But the Bible says here, have no fellowship. Look, I don't have no problem at all when gays come in here. Just as long as they don't have no problem at all, sit on the front row. Bring them on. I preach the mass security prisons. I've been in the Barricade Correctional Center. I preach on the streets of Columbus, Ohio. I went back in the alley, even though they told me not to get out of sight of the group. I went back in the alley, and I'm back in there preaching. And there comes about 10 black guys, they all look like linebackers. Their necks just big around, and they surrounded me. And I never let up. I thought, good place to live. And there's a woman broke through that group of men. She had to be heaven sent. She was beautiful. She called me, preacher, you got any trash? I don't preach on the streets. I had a pocket full. She said, can I have? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you need to go over and sit down right there. To my amazement, they done what she said. I said, thank you, Lord. Many of them had angels under waters. They had like a flyer arrangement about the middle of that alley. And it was made out of rock with a tree in the middle of it, or some kind of flyer, or something. Those men sit around it, rock flyer arrangement there. She gave everyone a tract. She said, you need to hear this man. He's telling you the truth. Most of these guys are Muslim, had a little white thing on their head all knit up there, you know. And you know what? I could preach me to death. Let them come in. Let them sit on the front row. If looks could kill, I'd be a dead man 10 times over. Fear of man brings a snare. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He says here, I'm sorry I've been long-winded. Now, I don't make very many apologies, but I've got to deliver this message. Y'all bear with me, please. I'll wrap it up as I can. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's what we are. We're the light. Jesus said we're the light of the world. He said don't put a bushel over it. He said, let it shine. What's that song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. You remember that? Well, there's a lot of truth in that song. A lot of truth in that. I heard a preacher say tonight, has anybody got anything? We want to take the time, give an opportunity. I appreciate you doing it. You know, we do need to take time to be holy. I know we're in the hustle and bustle of the day and night we're living in. We're going to and fro. We're just going through the motions. We don't even sit down with a family and look one another in the eye. Enjoy the company of our loved ones. We just offer excuses and run out the door. How we need to slow down a little bit. How we need to let these words sink down in our ear, down in our heart. God says, all things are reproved, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We need more light today, beloved. The entrance of God's word give light. Psalms 119, verse 130. Remember, I read to you, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you want to have fellowship with God, it's not optional. It's mandatory. You got to enter into the light. Now, this word is that light. You want to have fellowship with God? Get your Bible out. Read in there. You'll be walking in the light. And God will start having fellowship with you. There ain't no shortcuts. Forget about the self-help. Forget about all the books, programs, all the tapes, CDs. Just get your Bible out. Do like old Brother Eddie did. I got my Bible out and it wasn't just Greek and Hebrew. I thought it was in another world's language. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, this is your word. I'm your son. Open your words for me. Make your words known to me so I can have them for my sake and for the sake of others. That was the first year I got saved. I got saved April 27, 1988. And I made up my mind. I set my face like a flint. And I was going to finish my Bible for them that year. It isn't full of finish, but I finished it. God opened his word to me. And oh man, that hidden manna started being manifested. And I got hungry and thirsty. It took the preeminence of everything. My wife came in there chiding me a little bit. All you do, read your Bible. I said, honey, I got to do it. I didn't even know why I'm saved. God was preparing me for a day such as today to preach his word, deliver his message. And I read that Bible through for 17 years. And on the 18th year, my mom died about May, I believe, of that year. And I put my Bible down because of the state of mind, I was the only child in the state of mind I was in. It wasn't, you know, you got to prepare yourself. When you read the Bible, first of all, get down and pray, confess your sin, Lord. Wash me, cleanse me, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. What did God say? He sent a door I'll come and I'll sup with him in a week. Well, fellas, here with God, get his word. Ask him to open his words to you. Ask him to make his words known to you. First year I got saved, everybody kept saying, you've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. I was there for 3 years. I said, I'm just going to say it with the Lord. And I was. Finally, man, I had it up here. You didn't call the preach. I said, you let God tell me how we. That was a big sign. It's a lot of work. I thank God for counting me faithful, putting me in ministry. I sure didn't mean to take as much time tonight, but we got to walk in the light. He's in the light. You know, as it said, if we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. Verse number 6. You know, I mentioned about those two words, tolerance and diversity. That 11 of those two words right there, you got to be careful. If it weren't for this Bible right here, you know, your opinion, my opinion, they're kind of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple. Most of the time they stink. That's why it's important what said the Scripture. But we need to get away from that leaven because it's going to mar your light. Jesus, he said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. In St. John chapter 3, verse 9 through 20, we got a problem because we don't like the light. We like the darkness. And you know, we want to say, yeah, I'm saved. And we got that black shirt and black pants, and we got that Garth look, not the Garth look, the Gothic look, you know, we got that, was it Charles Manson or whatever it is, we got that look, you know, that grunge look, you know. First time I ever preached on the square up there, I scared dead as it was anyway. Now it's my call to preach on a Wednesday night. Brother Rick said, I want you to preach for me this Sunday night. My knees buckled, but I found out, boy, God, he helped me. He helped. The sad thing is, I thought it was going to be like that every time. I got done preaching, I thought, man, I ain't going to do this. Next time, God was a million miles away. It didn't take me too long to raise my little white flag up and say, Lord, I surrender. And I found out things go a whole lot better when he helps you. But anyway, somebody knows I was having a pity party at home one day, and I don't like everybody to know this, but I was complaining to God, Lord, you called me to preach, and I ain't doing no preaching. And you know, I really didn't have the right to say what I did, but I said, Lord, I kind of expected, you know, to have a chance to preach somewhere. And somehow or another, the wild blue yonder flying like a dove, lighting on my shoulder, and a thought come to my mind about preaching upon the public square in Glasgow, Kentucky. And so help me God, before I ever even thought about it, I stuck both feet in my mouth. I said, Lord, you give me a message, and I'll be there. That's the fastest message I ever got in my life. You talking about email, that was Gmail. You know, when that message hit me, there was a yellow streak running my back wider than my shoulders. And it kept getting wider throughout the week. And I already made up my mind Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, I was going to be on the public square. And I'm driving in town 5 miles an hour, people blowing the horn past me. I'm nearly, man, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there thinking, they killed me. Somebody can shoot me, run me. Man, if I do the same will, I'll get a reward. The woman me for preaching out the gospel. This thing's wearing me out. And finally, I mean, in 5 miles an hour, I finally made the 15-mile journey. I pulled in the public square, and I'm sitting there thinking, surely somebody's going to bail me out. Surely the police are going to say your license is expired. Something. After a long pause, I looked. It's 9 o'clock. I got out of that truck. I went down there, and I mean, but I felt like hit the bottom crane. I ain't kidding. I don't like to admit it. I was scared. I'd never done this before. I didn't know how it was going to be. I got down there, and I knew I needed to pray and ask God for help. And I humbled myself. I said, Lord, I'm here to be obedient to what I told you I'd do. And I said, Lord, if I thought I could do it without your help, I wouldn't bother you. But I said, if you would, if you could, please help me. And I woke up, there are people walking by the word. Come on, it's Friday. Come to preach to you the word of God. And I got to preaching. Man, the Lord, they come on me. I got feeling pretty good. I got about 3 sheets in the Holy Ghost and black and better words. It wouldn't bother me if the devil showed up at that time. I was, you know, feeling pretty good about it. And all of a sudden, two guys come running around the courthouse. One of them got right in my face. Brother Daniel, here's what he did. He said, "What are you doing?" I looked at this boy. He's got white hair. I ain't got enough hair to do this. But if you go out just like this, two big points out here. He's got yellow contact lenses in with a black slit right in the middle of them. His face is pierced. He's got tattoos. He's got the golf look, or whatever you call it. I mean, he's got the black pants, the black boots, the black jacket, and he's looking me right in the face, and if he'd come in here, I'd have run plumb out of my shoes. I have to admit, boy, he'd come at just the right time. Don't say the righteous are bold as lion. I said, "Young man, I'm preaching the word of God." I said, "You get over there and you sit down, you need to hear it." And he did. His buddy down there snickering, laughing down there, you know. I finished that message and I went over to that young boy. And I had one of them tracts, "All this I did for you." And I said, "Young boy, this is what Jesus done for you. He died for you. He loves you, son." I said, "He wants you to come live with him, but you're not going to come live with him unless you repent of your sin and you get saved." Because I'm talking to this boy, his buddies down there laughing. I thought, okay. So I started walking down to his buddy. As far as I know, he's still running. I mean, he did run out of his shoes. I mean, buddy, he made tracks. He took off like a bullet out of a gun. That was the first time I ever preached on the public square. Man. God said for us that men love darkness rather than light. Neither come they to the light. That's why we go out on visitation. They won't come. That's why a brother here said somebody's up there and they run, took off when he got here. They need the light, but it won't come to the light. The reason they won't is because they love darkness rather than light. Whew. The Bible says light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It also says there in 1 John, I'm done about here, chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we're of God, little children, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, in wickedness. When you read about Paul talking about putting on the whole armor of God, this ain't no cakewalk. This is a war. There is an enemy. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeing who he may devour. And there are casualties. There's that bunch out there wants to holler, "Allah Akbar, Lord, die for them." Now look, I may not be able to win, but I'll tell you one thing, they're going to know Allah. If they wants to come through that door of AK-47, I'll just say, "Here, let the rest of these leave. No weapon formed against me can prosper." Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He said, "To be passed from death to life." Eternal life just kind of takes death out of the equation. Jesus said, "I've got the keys of it. We're more than conquerors through him." Heaven is my home. How do you threaten a man with heaven? I mean, I'll be honest with you. That's where I'm going to end up when it's all said and done. When all the smoke clears,
amen.
I'm going to be with my Lord. This man made hell down here that needs him. It still says away with him, away with him. They still need him. We got to trim our wick. We got to go outside the four walls of this church. You got to go over to that little girl that's telling you about it. You got to knock on that door and get that mom and that daddy to understand they need God's help, that little girl. And you get that little girl and that mom and dad in this church to them saved. And I do too, don't get me wrong. Even though they live further from Bethel Baptist Church than they do from Dallas Church, somebody needs to get there. Somebody needs to knock on that door. And somebody says, "I need some light in here. And I'm a child of God. I'm a child of light. I can help you if you let me." Amen. That's our mission. That's why we're here. That's why we're not in heaven. You know what? The day I got saved 28 years ago, April 27, 1988, I mean, I had my eyes closed, I knelt down there, and I wondered whether God could or would forgive me all my sins, but when he did, I expected to be in heaven when I opened up my eyes. Because heaven come down. And I was a little disappointed. And I thought, a simple thought, a childish thought, I thought, there must be something God wants me to do. And I've been trying to do what God wants me to do. He wants you to be a witness. He wants me to be a witness, not a Jehovah's Witness, a saved one. Me and Daniel worked with a guy out there. He's a Jehovah's Witness. I told him I was a Jehovah's Witness. He said, you are. I said, you're a saved one. See, a true witness to live souls. If a true witness to live souls, what's a false witness then? They don't deliver. They make two four-born childs of hell in themselves. That's why we've got to get the light. God put somebody in your heart, and I've had him to do it. I'm talking about 3 o'clock in the morning, falling on the bedside, saying, Lord, I don't know who to be. But I thank you for putting them on my heart. And I'm praying for them, whatever it is they need, Lord, help them.
Amen.
I've had a lot of them. I don't know if they're close encounters or what. I've had a lot of them. 3 o'clock in the mornings, get up and fall down and pray for someone, call somebody's name like the God. One time, they even got the car to go over. Are they all right? Yeah, fine. There wasn't no false alarm. God said in Isaiah chapter 6, who'll go? And one back said, the Baptist back in the back, he said, here I am! Send me! Now sit down! He took off and going, he, hello! He'll see me wasting out of heaven and the land beyond the desolate. Keep going for God. You got this much soul winning. Grace the one he does. Nobody don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. That's what's important. When they see that you care, they'll open up. Sure enough, I see it. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand for your word. I thank you, Lord, for these people that have bore this message tonight. It wasn't a lot of amen, it wasn't a lot of shouting. There's not much going on when you're having surgery. But I thank you, Lord, for these brothers and these sisters tonight that have weathered the word of God, received instruction. Lord, will you help us to do like James said, to be doers, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us to turn some things off. Help us give God his time. Follow these things. May you receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name we ask them. Amen. Amen. Come on up here, preacher.
Please stand.